This is Brian Oakes, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Erskine, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman. Scattered showers and a few isolated thunderstorms are expected this afternoon and evening as a weather disturbance moves through the region. Rainfall will be hit or miss, with most areas seeing less than a few tenths of an inch. Highs will top out in the low 70s under partly to mostly cloudy skies. Another round of rain is possible Thursday night into Friday, with more showers returning Saturday and a slight chance on Sunday. Temperatures will stay seasonable with lows in the 40s and 50s and highs in the 70s. Saturday will be the warmer day with a few 80s possible, while Sunday turns breezy with gusts over 30 miles per hour.
Meteorologist Brad Rippey says warmer weather is on the way for much of the country.
Taking a look at the National Weather Service 8 to 14 day outlook covering the time period June 10th through the 16th, looks like a warm stretch as we head toward mid-June. The entire country expecting near or above normal temperatures. Greatest likelihood of hot conditions will be across the deep south, South Texas to Florida, and an area encompassing much of the Intermountain West and parts of the Rockies in the western U.S.
And Rippey says we can expect more rain as well.
At the same time, with that relatively warm weather, we are expecting near or above normal rainfall nationwide. The greatest likelihood of those wet conditions will extend across the plains, the Midwest, and the South. In fact, it is areas along the Gulf Coast that have the greatest likelihood of experiencing wet conditions from June 10th through the 16th.
The MNDAC sugar beet crop has seen slow growth the past few weeks. MNDAC Vice President of Agriculture Mike Metzger says the crop is a little behind.
It's been kind of a stagnant month for growth, it seems like. The beets aren't quite as big as we'd like to see them going in as the calendar flips to June, but 4 to 6 leaf beets are kind of normal. We'd like to see them in, you know, a couple of weeks touching the rows here, and we're a ways off from that.
Metzger says the spring has been tough on the crop.
Function of the cool, wet weather, and these things have had a rougher spring than most realize. That 3 days of 90 degrees and combined with 40 mile an hour winds back to back to back, that took its toll on the crop. That set them back a ways. We don't have very many fields down here that are a picket fence. When we normally on 22 inch rows want to see that 180 plants per 100 foot a row, and I would say average for our crop is in that 140 to 150. So there, it's very doable, but it's a lot thinner than we'd like to see.
Sugar beet root maggot fly, peak fly rather, is expected later this week. NDSU Extension entomologist Mark Botel expects Friday or Saturday to be peak fly for the entire Red River Valley area.
Degree day units are kind of a little weird this year. Some of the more northern areas are a little farther along than, say, like Glendon Sabin, which is really unusual. That almost never happens. And the other unusual thing is because of that, and they're not too different. Usually they are more different, but with the northern ones being, you know, accumulating, a little slower than the southern ones. But anyway, it's looking like between June 6th and 7th, we're probably going to see a lot of activity.
Wind and temperatures could impact fly activity.
Anyway, it's looking like between June 6th and 7th, we're probably going to see a lot of activity. Some of that activity may show up on Monday's fly counts in our trapping network throughout the valley. Growers and applicators and pest managers should probably anticipate to, or try to get on a, if they're needing to put on a post insecticide spray in the next day or so would be really good.
This report from the 96th Annual North Dakota FFA Convention brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Farm Credit Services of Mandan, and Proceed. Fessenden Bowden FFA Chapter Ag Advisor Lee Mullenkamp says the students have put in many hours of preparation for this year's state convention.
Well, our district in North Dakota is District 3, and we have a state convention workshop in early May. So we were getting kids ready for the events that we put on in Rolla and St. John, North Dakota. So there was like eight different CDEs that the advisors in the district helped put on and kids participated in that. And then just the last couple of weeks, it's been in and out. This last week was really good. We had a workshop in Carrington, and then we do our own practices in Fezzenden. So we had some 3 or 4 hour practices, probably 4 or 5 of them during the week for the different events.
And Mullenkamp says the Fessenden Bowdoin FFA chapter has many students participating in many different events.
We have kids in the small animal care CDE, advanced ag mechanics, the dairy cattle handlers event, the food science and technology event, the farm business management CDE, floriculture, so 4 complete teams in the farm business management, the small animal care, the environmental natural resources, and floriculture. We brought 16 kids from our chapter, which is, we've got about 16 active members. There's some here that are just getting a good start.
This report from the North Dakota FFA Convention, brought to you by NDFB, Nutrien, North Dakota Farmers Union Rugby FFA Chapters. Cole Anderson is a state FFA officer candidate and excited for the opportunity to become a leader.
It would be a great opportunity for me, and I would be really grateful for it. But, I mean, state office, it's you're a leader for all the members in the state. You're their voice at the national convention because you're one of the delegates there. And it's really just an important way to show, like, how much of a leader you can be and really to be a representative of everyone and be their voice. So I did a bunch of preparation for this. I've looked over a bunch of the materials. I read through our handbook. And then I had to prepare some speeches as well. It's a lot of work getting ready for it, but that just means that the more work you do, the better prepared you'll be for it, and the better you'll do at the whole screening committee deal, and the better everything will go.
Anderson has trouble imagining his life without FFA.
FFA really, to me, is just a family. I mean, I've met so many people here that have mean a great deal to me, and it's been one of the greatest parts of my life. I've learned so much through FFA that I couldn't even imagine not having done FFA and what my life would look like without it, because it's such a big part of my life and just how much I've learned from it.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. 3 ag-related projects have received funding from North Dakota's Agricultural Products Utilization Commission. Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring approved over $340,000 in grants at the group's quarterly meeting in Minot. MINDAC Farmers Cooperative received funding for sugar beet harvest automation. Picata Systems will continue work on real-time plant tissue analysis, and Carbotech Technologies will study the feasibility of a lignite-based fertilizer plant. The next round of grant hearings will be held July 23rd and 24th in Medora.
5 businesses have been awarded funding through North Dakota's Agriculture Diversification and Development Fund. Ag Commissioner Doug Goring approved more than $1 million during the fund's quarterly meeting in Minot. Recipients include GMG Ranch, American Crystal Sugar Company, Qual Dairy, Pride Dairy, and Frontier Meats. Projects range from cattle finishing and dairy improvements to expanded ice cream and meat processing.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley pushing back on proposed USDA budget cuts and expressing concern over recent developments in U.S. trade policy. Grassley says the president's budget proposals rarely survive intact.
Presidents propose, and many times Democrat senators have put president's budgets up for vote. Republicans have put Democrat presidents up for a vote, and they hardly get any votes. So it reminds me that presidents propose, Congress disposes.
On the trade front, Grassley reacted to court rulings that limited the president's emergency tariff power, saying they may complicate negotiations with key trading partners.
I think you'd find short-term some impact, but it would be wrong to make a determination long-term how it affects negotiations until the appeal process is completed.
With China imposing steep retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods, the U.S. Meat Export Federation has been working globally to reroute beef and pork products that were once bound for Chinese buyers. Despite a pending appellate court decision on the legality of some U.S. tariffs, China's duties remain. U.S. pork now faces a 57% tariff, while beef is taxed at 32%. Beef exports have largely stalled as China has not renewed plant registrations for U.S. beef. USMEF Latin America Representative Omero Recchio says international coordination has helped shift some of these meat products into new markets.
all of the offices got together, and we talked about where and how we could use some of these China items in other markets. So in the case of Colombia, we identified processors where we could take some items like the mask that used to go to Mexico. China outbids them. Maybe there's an opportunity in some other markets. So looked at processors, looked at the different wet markets and some other opportunities on some offal that could go to these wet markets in Colombia. In Central America and in South America, a tremendous amount of white rice is eaten. And so, you know, we know how short plates sliced thinly and how they're used in Asia. And so we thought maybe that was an opportunity.
In South Korea, USMEF Vice President for the Asian Pacific, Ji Hae-yang, led a promotion with one of the region's largest grocery chains, highlighting thinly sliced frozen U.S. beef short plate.
Collaborating with the third largest retail chain called Lotte Mart, having 105 stores nationwide, Korean importer took an advantage because the short beef supply limit the product availability in Korea for the last couple of years due to the cattle cycle in the U.S. So it's a great opportunity for the retailers to buy the reasonable price of short plate for the Korean consumer, and also good for the U.S. exporters because it creates a new demand through these promotions.
The weekly report from the Energy Information Administration showing ethanol production during the week that ended May 30th, 1.105 million barrels per day. That's 49,000 barrels per day more than the previous week, 3% more than the same week a year ago. Ethanol stocks were up 200,000 barrels to 24.4 million barrels.
USDA seeking public comments for a Bayer crop science trait that delivers resistance to fall armyworm and similar pests in corn. Feedback will be taken until July 3rd for a draft pest risk assessment and an environmental assessment. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The grain markets bounced back today with weather forecasts and technical positioning offering some support. Heartland Investor Services President Eugene Grainer says grain prices had fallen sharply in recent weeks, but forecasts hinting at dryness in key growing areas helped spark a technical recovery.
In a nutshell, markets got extremely oversold. The bounce from oversold is also coming from some weather forecasters that the last half of June is going to see a warming up. And if you look at the root zone maps out there, there is dryness still prevalent in some areas of Iowa, in the Midwest, South Dakota, and into Nebraska, that they're going to need some rains.
Grainer also pointed to the wheat market, where heavy spring rains could reduce yields and create a surprise rally.
There is disease. There is stripe and mosaic rust down there. And when you have those diseases, unless you're in their heavy spraying, you could see losses of 5 to 80%. Now, I've been at this business for 35 years, and I have seen years where the rain like this does not make grain when it heads right into the heading stage, into the wanting to get harvesting. You roll through 80 bushel straw, and you're coming up with 30, 35 bushel wheat. You go through 60 bushel straw, you're coming up with 30 bushel wheat. And then that's these kind of counter-seasonal rallies that surprise everybody and shock everybody.
Vietnamese companies have signed a memorandum of understanding with the United States firms to purchase $2 billion in ag commodities. 50 companies from Vietnam traveled to the U.S. With their ag minister for the trade trip. One of the agreements was for the purchase of $800 million of Iowa corn, wheat, dried distillers grains, and soybean meal over the next 3 years. And like other countries, Vietnam faces a huge increase in reciprocal tariffs when the temporary pause ends next month. That could negatively impact those deals.
Checking quotes, July wheat Minneapolis up 4 1/4 at 6.22 1/4. July wheat Chicago up 5 1/4, 5.41 1/4. KC wheat's up 1 1/2 to 5.38 1/4. July corn even so far at 4.38 1/2. July soybeans up 4 cents, 10.44 3/4. In Winnipeg, July canola's down $2.10 per metric ton, $6.96.60 Canadian. On the cattle side, June live cattle up 2.27. They're at 2.18.25 now. August feeders up 2.50 to 3.03.72. And June lean hogs down 15 cents at 107 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.